Father, into your hands, we want to surrender everything that we have, our lives, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, those who know you, those who don't. In your hands, we want to surrender our city, our, its leaders, the schools, the shops, everything in it. In your hands, we want to surrender in your good care our country, our world. We want to surrender all that your glory may shine, that your spirit may continue to be at work in people's lives. Lord, forgive us when we do not surrender. Let the flame of your spirit fill our hearts as our hearts are fully, unreservedly, totally surrendered to your love, to your grace. Lord, remove the fear of us surrendering to you everything we have and we are, and replace it with your Holy Spirit. Remove the timidity that is within us and give us a spirit of boldness and of joy, of shouting, Abba, Daddy, Father, because this is who you are. Lord, as we listen to your word today, as we engage with it, would you give us a servant heart to continue to surrender to the calling in our lives to go and serve, to teach and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we surrender everything to that cause. We surrender everything. Lord, take us as we are and bless us by your word and your presence through your spirit today. In your name we ask, Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. Well, we are halfway through this, just over halfway through our Fearless Faith, a season of growing, going, and giving. And we're looking this morning at serving faith. And as we got to halfway, I would like to remind you of our vision. And I think the PowerPoint is coming up. Thank you, Andy. Blessed be the name of Andy, who's trying to put the PowerPoint there. Don't worry about the reading, we'll do it later. All I want is the PowerPoint. I want to remind you of the fact that faith is seeing the whole of life as God sees it. Without seeing how God sees life, there is no faith. We cannot have a faith without seeing things, people, everything that happens around us with God's eyes. There is no faith. We don't need any faith like that. And that's how we describe faith throughout this series. Now, there on your outlines at the very beginning, it says, give yourself completely to God, every part of you, for you have been brought back to life and you want to be tools in the hands of God, used for his good purposes. This is exactly what we want to do with our lives today. We want to become tools into God's hands for serving, for being fully surrendered and committed to his life, in order that we may see his glory spread all over the world. This has been at the core of our mission and our vision. I want you to look at that on that screen. Don't look at your Bibles, don't look at your outlines or whatever. Just look for a couple of minutes with me on that screen. This is why we are here. This has been the vision of the church for many, many years. We are here to kind of three things to do and be one of them. Two to do and one to be. Two is to bring glory to God. This is why it says we are here. Sole purpose. Secondly, alongside that, that the way we bring glory to God is by bringing other people, not to a religious, traditional church attendance service, but we're living, transforming relationship with Jesus Christ. This is the reason we are here. And the way we're going to do that primarily is becoming a spirit-led community, not a church, but a community which embraces people of all walks of life, of all faiths or without faith, that will come and be exposed to the grace of God in such a way that their lives are transformed, renewed, re-energized, blessed, and sent for mission to serve. surrender fully in order that they may serve. This is what we're here for. This is the vision. And the way we're going to do all these things together, we said that we try and do it into worship, what we call magnify. We do it through maturity and growth and service. We do it to serving one another. And this is what you're going to hear this morning from my message, that the way we grow is by the measure with which we serve. We serve the Lord by serving one another. We do this through a commitment to one another. Our faith, it's about relationship. It's covenantal, as the scripture describes it. We are here to covenant with one another, to become united in one body, to serve with the same purpose, goal, and mission. We are here to do ministry, gifting that the Lord has given us, serving Him all over the world that we see, we saw this morning in Lorenzo and Elaine's talk this morning. We are here to do mission, to do evangelism. This is the vision that the Lord has given to this church years and years ago. And this is at the core of who we are and what we do. And within that, we said for the next, sorry for the old logo, sorry about that, LBC, that's not anymore. But within that, we said for the next 5 years, our concentration, our focus, our vision will be to become disciples whose lives have been transformed by the grace of God. Because only then, when we our lives have been transformed by the grace of God, only then and then only we can go and make disciples of other people. Being sealed by the Holy Spirit, being renewed and re-energized by God's grace, forgiven by the cross of Jesus Christ, then we can go with the authority given by Him in His name to make disciples of Jesus Christ. And we need to be intentional about that. We need to be really focused and concentrated onto that kind of mission. So I want to talk to you about those five attributes of worship, of vision that we have, as I usually do through every series. I try and mention our vision to keep us focused and to keep us kind of on track of what we're all about. The Lord has called us to serve, and serving, it means to be committed. And very few people want to be committed these days. We usually like to be committed to places like the National Trust, because you can pay your thing, it's a commitment, you can pay your fee, whatever it is, a year, but then you don't have to attend to anything, to do anything, you can visit whenever you like. And that's kind of commitment that we like to be offered. No one that is demanding, one that is less demanding of my time or my comfort or whatever it is. Or almost we are today in the society in which we live, it's like, I don't know, those of you who've been, how many of you like sushi? Sushi? It's a good number. Usually when you tell people about service and commitment today, because service without commitment cannot happen. Those are the two faces of one coin. You cannot be serving unless you are committing. You cannot be. You can only be committed when you start serving. We are almost like, when we hear that these two words of serving and commitment, it's like a sushi conveyor belt. I don't know what they call them. I've just seen it in whatever I've been, but I've never been in a sushi stuff. I don't like sushi stuff. No disrespect. I just don't like it. It's not fat enough for me. Sorry. But it's like, you know, when I've seen it in, I don't know where I was, in Manchester, I think, yeah, recently, and I saw this sushi belt going around, and I could see children there with their families, like almost waiting, oh, I don't want that, I'll wait to see if something else is coming better. Oh, I don't want that, I want that, oh, I think it's something better, and then the other thing comes, and oh, I don't like that, I'll wait for something else. And it's the same when it comes to serving and being committed. We always wait for something better. A better church, a better job, a better boss, or whatever that then I'll be fully committed and fully into God. And God calls us through our vision that He's given us to a full commitment in those five areas that we mentioned. And this is the first one, that we join in worship. Sorry about my spelling there. Romanian is English is still my second language. Andy, you should have corrected that. You're English. No, sorry, Scottish. Is that in Scottish the same version? Yeah, yeah. Thank you. Thank you for agreeing with your pastor on that one. But coming in worship, you know, this is not my calling to you to say you should be here every Sunday morning in order to boost the pastor's ego that we've got the 150, 250 people in church. No, it isn't. But don't you find it that when you want to go on a Sunday to worship, usually you either feel tired, or I got a headache, or I got a toothache, or I haven't washed my hair properly. Sunday, you know, it's the only day I've got to lie down in bed, especially those of you who work from 9 to 5, you know. But Sunday always seems to be, oof, oh man, not again. But this is something that was, you come to worship with the people of God, as you come to bring praise to Him, something happens. And you're energized, and the Spirit of God begins to speak, and the Spirit of God begins to lift you up, and then something begins to bubble within you, and you feel renewed and again recommitted to God. It is the arena of worship. Okay, you can worship at home in radio, with radio, with the drums, with whatever you want to worship at home, with a guitar or whatever. But there is something that God calls us to worship Him together as the body, because it brings renewal to our faith and restores our joy of living, of salvation that we heard. This is one of the greatest strengths of our faith. And I'll let you know, I'm a bit biased, but I think it ought to be, really ought to be fun to go to church. Well, good laughter we had this morning to Lorenzo's great talk and Elaine as such. That may be shocking probably to some of us, but the Bible says, I was glad to go to the house of the Lord. Wake me up at about 8, half past 8, whenever we wake up in a Sunday morning. I'm not glad to wake up to go to church. I was glad when I was asked, when I was called to go to the house of the Lord. There is something in our worship together that the Lord brings us to energize, to renew, and to restore within us, both our faith and also our work with Him. Secondly, in our vision statement, it says that we are called to connect with one another in fellowship. We've got what we call connect groups. This where they're coming from, because I would like to mature and grow in Christ only by just coming to church, sitting on a pew, going home, and living my life as a Lone Ranger Christian. But it is in connecting with one another, in relationship, that God grows us, develops our character. It is within connecting with one another, like Linda and Sada said this morning, that we are discovering our purpose and our identity. We discover the calling that God takes us to. It is by being together and sharing God's word, sharing our walks of life with one another, our good and bad, our problems and our joys, our sorrows, that we begin to see God at work as we pray for one another, as we journey with one another. We are like the various parts of a human body. Each part gets its meaning from Christ's body as a whole, not the other way around. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of His body. Sometimes, you know, but that's what it is. It's life, and tragedies happen, conflict happens in our relationships, and it's part and parcel of what fellowship is, that sometimes relationships are broken and we don't like conflict. We like to run away from conflict usually. But it is within connecting with one another that we discover the real purpose for which God has called us. Christ has brought us together through His death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of hostility. Now God has reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation. That's why we exist as a church, to bring peace, love, joy to a broken world that lives in such a lot of turmoil. And the word I dare use today is hope in a fearful world. God has called us to a fearless faith in serving one another by bringing hope, encouragement, joy into our communities, into our lives, into our neighborhood. Thirdly, we we begin to see the renewal of our faith by learning to grow. It is by committing ourselves to growing and learning every day, every week, every month of the year, that we begin to develop our potential for what God has called us in life. There are some things that you will never learn on your own. You only learn them in community, in connecting with one another, in relationship. This is why we emphasize sometimes every September our connect groups, to join them in, to be part of them, because you can learn about love as much as you like from books, even from the Bible, but you can only express it in a connect group, in a relationship, wherever God may call you. You can learn about forgiveness, but what's the point of having the academic stuff about forgiveness and knowing everything about it, hearing so many sermons about it, unless I begin to forgive my brother in my group where I am, in my church, in my fellowship, the boss at work, the colleague at school, or whatever it is. It is in relationships that we begin to grow as we learn to love, forgive, offer grace, mercy, and so on. Fourth, I'm going to move very quickly. I made a pact with myself that I will not preach longer than 20-minute sermon. I've got 5 more minutes. Serve with others, and this is where the key of this message is. Each of you has received a gift to use to serve others. It's not for my own benefit, the scripture reminds us, but it says, be good servants of God's various gifts of grace. Not to boast, no, not for me to have a comfortable life, but a life of faith that is fully surrendered to his service. This is a faith that offers a serving heart to a world that is so egocentric all the time, all the time. Each of you has received a gift. No one can say and stand before the Lord one day and say, oh, sorry, but I wish I wasn't given the gift that I wanted to. I haven't got the gift that a million or anybody else or, you know, Billy Graham or whoever has got, so I refuse to serve. God has given you a unique gift with which he has called you to serve him. Ministry is the path of meaning, and service is the path of significance. Let me say that again, because this is by C.S. Lewis and not by me. Ministry is the path of meaning. You will find meaning in life as you begin to discover the purpose for which God has created you. I know this sounds cheesy and cliche, but only when you begin to understand God's calling in your life, his purpose for you, then you'll find meaning. And secondly, is the service is the path to significance. My significance does not come from having an office in the church. My significance does not come from driving a Mercedes or a Ferrari, although I wish. There's nothing wrong with my car, it's good, I love it. My significance does not come from having the Gucci label or the pants on me or whatever. It's not come. My significance in Christ comes from one thing and one thing only, from serving him. From serving him, where he has called us. And finally, is our the title of our series for this season, for this summer, has been growing. It's been giving, and the other one has been going. Part of our mission. The last one is of our vision is to go. It's mission. And we honor this church for 155 years. That when they went together, those 7 people, to find this church, they continue to serve the Lord here in the city, to their Baptist presence, their Baptist witness here. And years later, in the 30s and 40s, the vision came refreshed and renewed. I think it was their 50th anniversary, or whatever it was, 75th. They said, we will go forward. And we want to maintain that going forward for our church. And we need to go with others. Serving happens in community. My faith as a servant faith happens as I serve with others and not alone. Not alone. Now, I want to close with with this verse and a story, and it will take me another 3 minutes. So sorry, I've got to 23, 24 minutes. They gave beyond their ability, far more than they could afford. What explained it was that they had first given themselves unreservedly to God. The other giving simply flowed out of the purposes of God working in their lives. Basis of that verse, I want to share with you, and I will share from now on in every message on this series, the story of a Christian that you probably never heard of before. Let me tell you what this person has done. In the First World War, he was shot in the stomach as a soldier, and after healing up, he returned to the front line to fight yet again. By the end of the war, he was advancing rank at the same time as Adolf Hitler was making himself known. His dad was a pastor, and at the end of the war, he decided to give up on becoming a doctor and to go and train for ministry. During his training as a pastor, he served among the poor and the marginalized of his city where he was born and where his dad was the pastor. His first pastor was an associate pastor to his dad. Then during the first year of his pastorate, his dad died here at the pulpit while he was preaching. And then the church called him to become the pastor. When Hitler came to power, this fearless faith pastor opposed Hitler anti-Semitic propaganda and agenda. So much so that he divided the church. Half of the church said that he is mad, that he shouldn't oppose the government. Half said, you are right in what you do. You should stick to God's kingdom values. Because of that, he left the church with the other half and moved somewhere else with the half that were supporting him and the kingdom values. The other half went and did something else. While preaching from Psalm 145, during a sermon like this on a Sunday morning, he was arrested by the Nazis and tortured in order to sign a Nazi confession. He was put in a cell, which I'm going to show you in a minute. It was 3 meters long by 1 meter wide, so that's about 9 foot by 3 foot. And he received so many confession letters that if he signed them, he would be free to go home. And he was asked basically to sign to deny his faith that he'll be faithful to Hitler. He had received so many of those confession letters that his whole cell was fully papered with those letters. Then he never any sign of them. For everyone that he didn't sign, an arm, a leg was broken. For everyone that he didn't sign, he was beaten. For everyone that he didn't sign, his family was threatened, and he has 6 children with death. He stayed in prison for a long time because he refused to bow to the swastika of German Nazi or even to do the salute for Hitler. While in prison, he preached to the bars of his cells to order inmates, so much so that a lot of them became Christians, and they had to move him from prison to prison because they're all becoming Christians. Fearless faith. Because he continued to preach against the Nazi regime and their anti-Semitic values, he was tied with his hands above his head, just like this, from the bars of the window cell. And he stayed like that for nearly a month for the love of Christ. A fearless faith. In the end, because they couldn't break him, not even physically, and not let alone his spirit, Hitler's doctor came to him and gave him a little injection that killed him. So today, I want to introduce you to a man. I wonder if, before I tell you who it is, if anybody guesses who this person is. Linda? No? Because it's one of your compatriots. This gentleman, and I'm glad you don't know, because this is the scope of this, that I want to present to you, a fearless faith man or woman from now on in this series that you've never heard of. And this is who it is. Paul Schneider, a young pastor in Germany, who served faithfully with a fearless faith, with a serving faith that never broke his spirit, to hardest of the hardest regime that this world has ever seen. Look him up on Google, looking up on Wikipedia, whatever you want to do, on whatever it's called, and you will be amazed what this man has done for God. This is the kind of faith, of serving faith, that God calls us to. Some of us might never have to go into that kind of torturing room of a regime. But God called us surely to serve him no matter what in today's world. I commit to worship, to fellowship, to grow, to serve, and to the mission of Christ. Becoming a disciple to make disciples demands full surrender, demands my all, demands everything I have that I may serve the Lord of glory. Faith is not an exercise of religious program. Faith is being fully surrendered to a God that says, you serve me, even in the most dramatic of circumstances of life. That's what our man heard. That's what he did. And that's why it's an inspiration to many of us. Let us pray. And then we'll just have a time of reflecting and worship together on what we've heard. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that through your scripture we are encouraged, we are built up, and as we heard this morning, a challenge to have a serving faith, a faith that is committed to you as the body of Christ in worship, a faith that is committed to fellowship and to growth, a faith that serves in the arena of mission, of ministry, wherever you call us, whether it's Cape Ray, whether it's London, whether it's Lancaster, whether it's India, Hong Kong. Lord, may we continue to listen to your voice that calls us, serve me. Forgive us when we listen to the voice of comfort and fear of surrendering. Lord, would you break the wall within us? Would you break the ego within us? And fully help us to surrender to your mission and ministry. Lord, I pray for myself as a pastor that you will give me a fearless faith, as I've seen in my brother Paul Schneider. I pray that through your Holy Spirit you will empower this church and every single person here to have a fearless faith that leads to a serving faith no matter what circumstances. Lord, thank you for the vision that you've given to this church. Help us to become those disciples who make disciples at no cost. We want to surrender fully to you, to your love, to your grace, to the cross of Jesus. We want to worship you. We want to grow. We want to give. And we want to go. Grow in spirit and in the knowledge of you. We want to give our hearts, our talents, and our money to the cause of your gospel. And we want to go because of your spirit in our hearts to make disciples. And so we want you to be at the center of our lives. We want you to have our hearts fully surrendered to you, because you are our Redeemer. Lord, be the center, we pray. Be the center. Let's reflect on those, what we heard this morning, and by singing a couple of songs or so in worship. Feel free to remain standing, to remain seated or standing. Feel free to just worship God and let the Holy Spirit come into your hearts, encourage you and minister to